Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Paul Yeske from the Swine Vet Center in St. Peter, Minnesota. Always a pleasure to see you, Paul.
Nice to be here.
Now, at the Lehman Conference, you gave a paper specifically on mycoplasma transmission, but it wasn't the typical from, you know, sow to grow finish. It was really more about what you call lateral transmission. Explain what that is.
Yeah, the lateral transmission is where we would have a specific farm and then it would move to a different farm owner without any other connection, just moving via aerosol as an example.
So how far can mycoplasma travel?
It in the research work that's been done in the past, it's been up to 10 kilometers, has been demonstrated where they've been able to see that. And even some further stuff in some of the literature back into the European literature showing that it's moved, I believe, even further than that.
But it's interesting to note, you were saying how we now have some negative herds, so we hadn't seen or really had a way of observing this lateral transmission before.
Yeah, there's been a number of production systems that have looked at the cost of mycoplasma and made the choice to do an elimination, or herds that have started from a new startup standpoint and they've started with negative population, started with a negative herd. And so they've been able to see that economic performance of those pigs that don't have mycoplasma performing better and doing better, and so they've gone on to eliminate it. We now have the capabilities to eliminate it from positive herds relatively easily, and so with that there's a higher population of negative pigs being produced every day.
So this whole idea of lateral transmission, it's a little scary, if you will, because you can make that investment in resources and labor and so forth to try to eliminate mycoplasma, yet your neighbor 10 kilometers down the road might still have it, and therefore you could get it again.
Correct, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this study, was to try and document how frequent does it occur. We know that the literature says it occurs, but we wanted to see if we do have negative pigs in pig dense areas. And so we were looking at pigs located in Northeast Iowa, Northwest Iowa, Northeast Iowa, Southwest Minnesota, in the pig dense areas where there's lots of pigs, and say, if we do take that extra investment to do an elimination, can we capture that value through the grow finish? Some of the work that's been done with PERS, particularly, and I think a lot of people have that in their head, is that 50%, nearly 50% of the sites that are populated negative in pig dense areas turn positive. So it's a very high lateral transmission rate. And so we wanted to document how frequent does it occur with mycoplasma.
And so tell me about the study. How is it set up and what did you learn?
We set it up to, again, identify those grow finish barns that were located in pig dense areas. And we used sites that were all in, all out by sites. We validated that the sow farms were producing negative pigs. We wanted to be sure we had negative pigs. And so we went to all the sow farms, validated that. We went to five different production systems that had negative pigs. And we followed 10 sites in each one of those five production systems. And we did two seasons of the year. So we tested pigs that were marketed in the summer, fall, and then in the winter, spring. And so we could see if we were looking to see if there was a seasonal difference, and then we were looking to see just what the actual incidence was.
And how do you actually set this up though? Because if you're talking about lateral transmission, a lot of this can be airborne. How do you duplicate that in a study?
This was a true field study. So we went to the field, we went to the pig dense areas. I believe one of the sites, one of the most densely populated sites within 10 kilometers, had 120 different finishing sites. So there was a lot of barns in the area. And so we have the negative pigs, we put it out there and we're going to see if they get infected. And so we were looking serologically to, at the end of the finishing period, to see if those pigs had been exposed to the field mycoplasma.
And so what have you learned about this so far?
We learned that it certainly does happen, but it happens at a fairly infrequent rate. And when we looked at the total year, our total both seasons, all 100 sites, we only had 6% that became positive.
What do you attribute that to?
I think the organism just is different in the way that it moves through the, it's possible for it to do that, but it just doesn't do it very often because it's a slow-growing organism and difficult to transfer in that mechanism.
And these negative herds are vaccinated for mycoplasma, I would assume.
They were vaccinated, correct. They were vaccinated and the piglets were vaccinated, and we were able to, with the vaccine, to be able to still test the animals and determine their status.
So moving forward, how will this affect the management of these mycoplasma negative herds? How can we protect them? I mean, vaccine is a good safeguard, but it's kind of scary to know that this could be transmitted.
Yeah, I think there's a couple important implications. And the first implication is that if you're looking at doing an elimination program, the odds of you being able to capture back that value is pretty high, because there's not going to be very many of the sites that don't allow you to get that income back. And so it should help people feel more confident going into an elimination program that they're going to be successful and they're going to be able to return their investment. The other implication, I think, for the industry to think about is oftentimes it's real easy to say, well, it's not my production system that's the problem. I'm getting it from the neighborhood. And I think our data is showing pretty well, if you're having lots of mycoplasma problems, it's probably your production system, not the neighborhood. And so you need to go back and look at your stabilization in your sow herd and try and identify how you can do a better job with the gilt introduction and make sure we're not sending through as high a load of mycoplasma to the grow finish population.
Is there a situation where mycoplasma elimination is not a good strategy?
My belief is it's probably always a good strategy, but in certain instances it's going to be some production systems are going to make the choice to continue to live with the disease. If you're going to live with the disease, then you need to make sure that we keep the herd very stable, that you have good immunity, and we reduce the amount of organism that's moving through the system. We believe that the mycoplasma, the clinical effects of the mycoplasma are worse when we have a heavier load. And so anything we can do to reduce the load and the pressure in those positive pigs will help to decrease the effect on the performance. So herds that choose to live with mycoplasma need to just have a good herd stabilization program so that they can send out a very lowly infected animal or low load on the animal, and then that'll minimize the effects.
But in summary, it sounds like you're certainly a big fan of mycoplasma elimination, and you feel it's a good investment for producers to make.
Yeah, it's one of the quickest investments we can see be turned around as far as when we look at the break-even, it's only months. Mm-hmm. And so there's very few things that we get the opportunity to return the cost within months, and there's very few things that we can do that have a fairly high success rate. And so this one has the fortunate piece of having both of those, plus the opportunity to do, oftentimes we do this technology in the herd closure for other diseases as well. So we may be controlling PRRS and mycoplasma at the same time so we can get more benefit.
Beyond vaccination, you've got producers who have eliminated mycoplasma. What additional steps can they take to protect their investment?
Certainly good biosecurity. You want to make sure that you don't bring it in. And for the herds that have chosen to stabilize, making sure they do a good job of stabilizing the sow herds, the most important thing, certainly the use of vaccination. Certainly we can do some things with antibiotic usage at the proper times. Will also make some dramatic impacts on if a herd's in an acute out phase or has undergone some instability. There are some ways we can use antibiotics to help control the disease as well.
Sounds good. Well, we've been talking to Paul Yeske. He is a veterinarian at the Swine Vet Center in St. Peter, Minnesota. Thank you again, Paul.
Thanks a lot.